This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Buck Sexton and I are coming your way at noon, but right now we're getting your morning started right with Tug, Rhino, and Carlos Medina on The Morning Extra.
Here on Extra 106.3, the app, best way to listen, so you can listen on demand and live at your convenience, whatever works better for you. The story we didn't get to in the final part of the Extra Extra Entertainment was one from Bill Maher. And Bill Maher has always been a pretty left-leaning guy. And now, all of a sudden, because the left has moved so far, it radically left, that he almost sounds like a centrist in most situations. And a guy that uses a lot of common sense, and he almost sounds like a conservative. Although he will tell you up front that he is not.
No, he's not.
He's a liberal. and you have to realize that. But at the same time, sometimes the things he says makes you go, oh my gosh, that's so logical. Kind of like he did recently when he talked about people who revel in being overweight and obese.
There's a disturbing trend going on in America these days, rewriting science to fit ideology or just to fit what you want reality to be. We've gone from fat acceptance to fat celebration. That's new. To view letting yourself go as a point of pride? We used to at least try and be fit and healthy, and society praised those who succeeded.
Not anymore. Now it's like, look how big I am and look how much I can show off, how much skin I can show off. And make everybody go, why are you wearing that?
You know, I have to be honest. I'm a huge Lizzo fan only because she is a flutist. And she plays the flute like no one else. I mean, she's a brilliant musician.
It's the first time I've ever heard anybody say I'm a fan of someone because they're a flutist.
Yeah, well, but you know what?
It's original.
I actually respect people who can. Look, I have newfound respect for bands, orchestras, and all of this. Since, you know, my stepson was a major part of the Sprayberry band.
That's cool.
And I've just learned a lot about what the work that goes into being a flutist or being a, you know, someone who plays the trumpet or being a part of the band. And just to see the way she plays the flute is unbelievable. I mean, she really is. I mean, you look it up. She actually has an Instagram account called Sasha B. Fluting or something like that. And it's her. It's Lizzo. So, but this is a woman who also walks around and climbs up ladders with her butt hanging out the entire time. And I just don't get it. I'm not, you know, look, if you think that's beautiful, by all means do. But at the same time, this is an unhealthy lifestyle. We should not be applauding that. We shouldn't be applauding drugs. We shouldn't be applauding these things that really lead us down paths that cause depression, that cause COVID, cause heart attacks. Like, we shouldn't be celebrating this. Bill Maher's right.
Well, we run into, I guess it's now body affirmation that you're now supposed to say, oh, you're beautiful.
No matter what.
Even if you are wildly obese. And we've seen this in terms of COVID, where one of the biggest comorbidities was hypertension, overweight. If you had any of these things going on, we were supposed to just say, oh, well, no big deal, even though we knew this was killing people. Mm-hmm. I still remember there was a French epidemiologist before it ever really came to our shores and hit us as hard as it did. He flat out said when it was going through Europe, he's like, the Americans are going to have a tough time with this. It's like, why is that? He's like, because they're way overweight. Yeah, because we're fat and happy.
Isn't this a child abuse thing, too, though? Like, I mean, there are a lot of times that's where I get more upset than anything else. When I see a child, when I see a mother and a child and they're walking, and the child is overly obese, and you know it's not because they were born that way. I mean, it's because of what we've done, how we feed them, the things that we do. And I just think it's disgusting. I think it's a form of child abuse. I think it leads to a lot of health problems. I think it's something that we really do need to talk about and address. We can do it without fat shaming. Listen, I'm guilty of fat shaming. I'm guilty of saying things. And, look, most of them are jokes. Most of them I don't feel that way about someone.
I'm a terrible person.
I'm a terrible person in that regard as well.
Like when
I mean, I'm fat. Look, I'm obese. We Fit told me, I stood on that little stupid thing and it said, you're obese.
I lost 50 pounds and it still told me I was obese.
So. I lost 85 pounds. I'm still obese.
So when Stacey Abrams did the picture in front of the kids, yeah. I remember tweeting out like she's hungry to be governor. And there was a woman who emailed into the station, I've told this story before, and she talked about trying to tell management and ownership they're trying to get me fired or get me to be quiet or whatever. And her entire thing was, well, my daughter has trouble with this. And I was like, well, that's on you. That's on what you're making in your home. I had a discussion with my daughter yesterday. She's my older daughter. She's into volleyball. And she was telling me, I've got like a 4-pack right now. And I go, okay, that's great. She wants a 6-pack.
Yeah, sure.
And I told her, I said a very simple thing. I go, abs are made in the kitchen.
Yeah.
What are you eating? What are you fueling into your body? And she took that to heart. She's like, hey, check out my lunch. See what I want to eat. That's where if you take the personal responsibility and understand that what you're putting in your kids is going to be reflective not only of their health, but also how they view themselves. I think that's a very big deal.
No, it is. And I think a lot of people don't do a very good job of that. And look, in my family, I'm not sure we do a perfect job. We do, like at night, my wife is always, we probably have dinner together 3 nights a week, and there's always a vegetable, there's always a meat, there's always a starch. And we try to do, proper portions. But I think, Los, you probably set the example better than anybody else. You figured out what your body was struggling with, and you fixed that. I don't think most people have the ability to do that. And for those who don't know, Los is vegan, not by some, political ideology, actually what's good for him.
My body would not process animal fats. My wife found out during the course of these last 3 years. She was probably always allergic to lactose, to milk, and she would have migraines, she would have all sorts of stomach issues, everything else along those lines. Now my kids, I don't make them eat that way. I don't. Yeah. But at the same time, when they start saying, "Oh, I want this fast food," I'm like, "Well, why don't we go home and do this?" And my wife is very big on when they're hungry at night, 8 o'clock, and they're ready, getting ready to go to bed. I want something. She always says, healthy snack. I'll make you a peach. Mm-hmm. I'll get you some sort of fruit or veggie. And so that's what they have to eat. That's what they're used to. Yeah,
Listen.
It's not going to be a Snickers, okay?
We do the portions. Everybody's plate has portions, and we do that really well. Then I eat everybody's portions because they don't finish their food.
That's also a total dad move. It's like, you didn't eat that. I'm having that.
If you look at that, that's one of the biggest problems in America is the portions. If you go to any restaurant, the portions are ridiculous. If you go to Europe, they're not near as plates are as big as...
Yeah, go to Europe then, hippie. Give me my food.
Well, I'd rather look like me than you.
That's fair.
Shots fired.
That's all right. But I will tell you, and I thought it was the biggest amount of BS until I really experienced it. When you start eating in a certain way, and again, we eat vegan, there is something toward the food we're eating. Basically, it tells your brain, hey, I'm full. Earlier than other stuff we were eating before. Mm. And so the portions we're eating are not anywhere near as large as what we were doing in the past, where I would feel like I had to eat a larger portion to be full. Now it's a smaller portion. My brain's like, dude, shut it off. Yeah, Put the rest of it away. Exactly. You're done.
Yeah. If, like me, I eat quicker than 20 minutes, so my brain never knows I'm full.
I just want to keep going. It's not a race, though, Rhino. You're not trying to outsmart your brain.
Rhino Hoover, he's like, just put it on the plate. Let's go.
I'm not going to lie. I'm one of those people. I make popcorn, a big bowl of popcorn, and then I try to eat it as fast as I can because I don't want to share.
Now you run into that.
That's a very big share bowl in my house. The girls go after that all the time.
Oh, I let them share, but if I eat it quicker, they can't catch up.
Yeah, you get more. Yeah.
But what it really comes back to, when you talk about a guy like Bill Maher, who is decidedly left, but the party is moving even further away
radical
from Bill Maher,
left.
He's looking at it and saying, hey, just as a general health concern, people, let's go ahead and rein it a little bit back in.
Yeah, I heard Clay Travis mention this maybe yesterday, the day before. It had to be yesterday. And he talked about going into or walking by a Victoria's Secret. Mm. And they had these models on the wall that are not typically what you would call a model. And he was like, well, I don't find that attractive whatsoever.
No.
And it's not healthy on top of that.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, in all honesty, it's okay to feel that way. And there are certain people that look up at those and go, hey, yeah, I like that. And
but we all grew up looking at Victoria's Secret models and realizing, okay, this is like the 1% of all women. And I do get the idea that we've now expanded it to make sure that we recognize that there are many women, different shapes, sizes. They're all beautiful, and that's fine. Absolutely. And that's exactly how it is. But there is something to where we're now celebrating morbid obesity. I get if you're talking about a curvy athlete, somebody who's in amazing shape. But, I know there was a softball player who did a picture, and you clearly saw – She ain't wafer thin, but she's in shape, and she's an incredible athlete,
and she's beautiful.
That is different than when we're talking about these morbidly obese women.
You're exactly
And men. We see that now in a lot of these commercials where they make sure, let's put these people in as some sort of icons of health, and it just ain't the way it
is. Well, but, I mean, if you look at commercials, then every family is interracial. There's always, you know, I mean, there's always,
and again,
they check all the boxes.
I have the kids, so white, the dad is black, and the mom is Asian.
Yeah, no. Like, I have the interracial home, yet I'm not looking at these commercials going, like, make sure we have the quota. But that's the weird part. Every commercial has the quota. By the way, I got a text from my friend Chris Duncan who said, but you miss my wings. I'm like, yes, I do. Duncan would make these amazing smoked wings. And the only thing I do miss in this entire world is smoked wings.
Duncan, bring them in.
Okay.
That's right. We're challenging
Chris,
him.
Chris,
yeah.
challenge you, Duncan.
He puts them on the big green egg.
Oh, nice.
Oh, they're amazing.
Okay.
Yeah. So amazing.
Well, go ahead. Get it going. Let's go. You got 2 hours.
Dunk, what you waiting on, man? I don't know what you're waiting on. All right. The 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Three Bridges Financial Group. If you're concerned about where we're headed and how it affects your savings and your retirement plans, and you should, reach out to Tom Gandolfi at Three Bridges Financial Group at 3BFG.com.
RBM of Atlanta presents My Headline with a Morning Extra.
Interesting headline from Newt Gingrich, and he writes this on his own website. I think it's Newt360.com. And he said that Donald Trump is the most influential Republican in modern history, and I think he's right. He said Trump-backed candidates through this primary went 188-14, two dropping out before the election.
Wow.
So the deal is his endorsement absolutely means something. And that's why you have things happening like that happened yesterday with the FBI in Mar-a-Lago. The left is horrified at the possibility that he'll run in 2024, and I believe he will. And he can win. He absolutely can win because they have nobody that can answer him.
Well, in Trump's address yesterday, and it wasn't really an address, I guess it was a press release more than anything else, he said it. He knew exactly what this is about. And this is the January 6th committee trying to find any shred of evidence that they can to keep him out of office. This is the only attempt that they have left. And that's what they're doing. They're hoping in one way or another they'll pull something out of Mar-a-Lago. Anything they can use in order to say, hey, Article 3, 14th Amendment, he caused an insurrection, this is the evidence, and he should not be allowed to be on the ballot in 2024. That's all this is. This is a witch hunt. The funny part is, and as they, you know, find out more information, you know, they break into the safe, they take things out of the safe. Guess what was in the safe? Nothing. There was nothing there.
Like Geraldo back in the day when he opened up Al Capone's safe and there was nothing but dust bunnies.
We're going in the vault. You're going to see what's in here. Oops.
Crickets.
But what Newt Gingrich brings up is exactly why this happened, though, because the Democrats are so afraid of Donald Trump being able to win in 2024, they have to find any way to keep him off the ballot. They continue to do this, whether it's the January 6th. They need to keep his name in the news. Look, no one's watching CNN until this morning. Now they'll turn on CNN. Now they'll turn on headline news. Now they'll turn on theirs because the only coverage that those kind of stations get are when they talk about Trump, and this is what they need. They need Trump more than they need anything else, whether they like it or not.
I don't get caught up in a lot of stuff when it comes to the media when they say, "Oh, it's a Trump candidate," because I just assume, okay, that they're afraid. Knowing, just as you guys said, 188-14. Understand this: for as much as the news media tried to tell you that Barack Obama was so popular, and obviously he got two terms, but when he would back a candidate, that candidate would lose, and that it was kind of the nature of. Everyone was able to say, if you're backing him because of your policies, I never liked your policies. I liked you. And that was the difference in what happened with Barack Obama.
He as a person
was popular. His policies were not. And so whenever it was a backing of his policies with somebody, they would lose. I think what we're now seeing at 188-14, the policies of Donald Trump were always wildly popular. Now, he as a personality, not always popular, but it's almost the direct opposite of Barack Obama.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And some people, Rhino, would say that Trump's star was fading. Remember coming up through, especially here in Georgia, because Purdue lost and there was whomever else that Trump backed didn't win. It was in the
Vernon Jones,
Jake Evans, there we go. Mm-hmm. Guys, and so specifically here, we heard it more than anywhere else. The Trump star is fading. If you put that in context, if you give it some background and you say 188-14, it does everything but tell you his star is fading. He's actually, I think he's probably stronger today than he ever was before.
Well, this economy is driving that.
That's exactly right. And then when you have an FBI raid on his home, people will tell you, oh, well, I didn't like him. I guarantee you, like Lo said, the people that may not have liked his brashness, but they appreciated his policies, and because those policies put them in a successful situation, they had those supper table issues where they could look at the issues that the left always pushed that gets people emotional because they were fat and happy under Trump, and they realize that. Right now they realize it.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you think of 188 and 14, that sounds like Nick Saban's record at Alabama.
It does. That's right.
It's very
exactly.
Saban-esque.
Yeah, and that's how great.
Great comparison.
Yeah.
And I lose
and
a game a year.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, that's an unbelievable record, and you're right. They're not only afraid of Donald Trump, they're afraid of everybody that supports Donald Trump and the new right that Carlos talks about a lot of times as well. They're afraid of this youth movement, the movement that's done with the swamp. And that's what this is all about. Donald Trump has come in and in 4 years exposed a lot of problems in our government. Yeah.
And opened my eyes.
And the media. The media is complacent in what they're doing. And that, look, this has been from the beginning.
Complacent
or complicit. Or complicit in what they're doing. But they're complacent in the fact that they're able to drive politics the way they want to drive politics. And this is nothing new. We can go back into when we were putting together the Constitution. The media was used by the government in order to get their narrative out there. It's always been done that way. And when the anti-federalists were out there and the anti-federalists were saying, hey, we need a Bill of Rights, it was the news media who was sidling with the federal government saying, no, we don't want that. We don't want a Bill of Rights in there. We want to be able to have a lot of power. And the federal government wanted to have that kind of power, and the media is the one who continues to drive it. It's no different than today. And that's where we're going to see how this plays out based in the media, because most people, look, there's going to be a lot of people that listen to us, but most people are going to go to their jobs today and they may see this headline, but they're only going to hear the headlines from whatever media they choose.
Yeah, that point of view.
And that's the point of view that the narrative is going to take control of. And people are going to start to look and say, hey, you know, Trump bad, Trump bad, Trump bad. That's what they want out of this. This is all they need.
If you had run on a platform, and I talk about, obviously, bodily autonomy, medical freedom, and I think a lot of people have come around to that now that you're starting to see some of the results of what's going on. But I also talked about abolishing the FBI. I think you can now actually run on a platform, and you'll have a lot of Americans who get behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to gut 75% of the federal bureaucracy.
Yep.
I'm going to gut 75%. And I don't care what it is.
DOE.
Meat cleaver, and it's gone. When you start talking about getting rid of 75% of federal employees, only the 75% are going to be upset about that. The rest of this country's going, yeah, we need change here.
Yeah, I'll give you marijuana and gay marriage. You give me abolishing the Department of Education and the FBI.
Seems like a good trade-off.
Deal?
Seems like a good, and as a matter of fact, here
I'll even give you a school board here.
I'll take the EPA as well.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, let's knock out
that. And then you know what? At the same time of that whole IRS, I'm going to go, listen, mom and pops can't hire a restaurant employee. How are you going to find 87,000 people? Yeah, that ain't happening.
Yeah,
it
doesn't
make
seem
sure
likely.
Take the cleaver to that too.
About 20 minutes, Ted Cruz actually talked about this, abolishing the FBI or the IRS rather. And we probably should roll the FBI in there as well. And we'll talk about that here in about 20 minutes. Next, our mid-show midterm update. I finally have found something I agree with Stacey Abrams on.
What?
91 days until the red wave. Next on Extra 106.3.
Big Mac's a good deal.
Yes. Yes, it is.
In today's fast-paced world, your business deserves banking solutions that are as dynamic and cost-effective as you are. Solutions like free business checking from LGE Community Credit Union, free online and mobile banking, no minimum balance required, plus no maintenance fees and dividends on your balance. At LGE, we're a smarter way to bank. See what's possible for your business at lgeccu.org. No monthly maintenance fees. Other service fees such as NSF, overdraft, wire, and stop payment fees still apply. Not all businesses will qualify. Membership eligibility and base savings account that keeps a $5 minimum balance required.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Hey, gang, it's your old friend Neil Bortz. You can catch me every Tuesday morning here on The Morning Extra. Now back to Tug, Rhino, and Carlos on Atlanta's only conservative news and talk station, Extra 106.3.
The Talkmaster has a new home in Atlanta on the radio, and it's Extra 106.3, the Neil Bortz show during The Morning Extra. Neil, what is going on with you, man? Good morning to you.
Well, it's all sorts of things.
Yeah, well, you know. Look, it has been a busy morning. There's no doubt about it.
What time are you all off the air?
At 9 a.m.
Well, I'm good till then.
All right, let's go. I love it. Let's do it.
I kind of feel the same way.
First of all, the mystery of the day. We had another Lenox Square incident.
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody probably on instructions from his father, robbed a lady of her Louis Vuitton purchases leaving Lenox Square. So you know what the mystery is?
What is that?
Why the hell would anybody want that butt ugly vinyl bag and luggage anyway? It is pretentious. It is, I'm very special. Look at me. I've got a Louis Vuitton bag. You know, I would rather walk around with a Publix plastic bag holding my stuff than that. You know the LV stands for lousy vinyl, don't you?
I didn't until right now.
But me, I
used to sit outside that store at Lenox Square when it was safe to go to Lenox Square.
Back when.
And I would just point and laugh at the women coming out of there with this hideously expensive crap. So there's a really sick robber out there somewhere stealing this stuff.
but you remember what it was like to be there when it was safe. And I will tell you, my wife and I, we had the, you know, back when we were in our 20s, we had the Buckhead apartment in the early 2000s. And it was go over to Lenox and do our stuff. We were planning on having dinner probably about 6 months ago. And when we thought about it, we looked at, well, we can go to this place at Lenox or we can go somewhere else. And we went, let's go somewhere else, because just the whole threat of going to Lenox is now a really real deal now.
You know, it is. I mean, I'm traveling to Atlanta. Well, actually, the Bortz bus pulls out tomorrow. And, you know, can I give a plug why?
Yes. Oh, by all means.
You know, my friends of, 35 years or more, Banks and Shane, are doing a 50th anniversary concert up at Lake Lanier.
I love those guys. Nice. And is it Banks that his wife is the marketing director there at Lake Lanier?
That's right. That's Missy.
Yeah, Missy.
Boy, did Banks ever outkick his coverage on
that. Indeed, he did. She's a sweetheart.
I'd love to come up there. That'd be fun.
That's my neighborhood, yeah. So y'all can come stay over at my place.
We'll go hang out over
there. I don't know what he put in her coffee, but good.
It worked. Good for him.
It worked. All right, Neil, we got to talk about it. You know, a lot of people don't like when you hit on Trump. And you know what? I mean, you have your opinions on Donald Trump, but yesterday the FBI searches Mar-a-Lago. They go in without any kind of subpoena. They just come and raid Mar-a-Lago. Talk about your thoughts behind it.
Well, I mean, you have to have some sort of physical evidence of a dead body before you go raiding a former president's private home and records. They didn't have this. I'm not a fan, and I will bow to anybody that has had to work with Donald Trump as I had to in my legal career. If they want to tell me what a great guy he is. Again, I love what he did. I just don't like what he is. But this just really, it really smells bad, like a real over-the-board witch hunt or a way for the Democrats or the deep state or whatever you want to call it to make sure he doesn't run again. I hope he doesn't. But this is not the way you do that. So I'm not the least bit happy with that raid on Mar-a-Lago.
Neil Bortz, Talkmaster, joins us right here on the Morning Extra. And I brought this up a little bit earlier in the morning. So Barack Obama, none of his actual policies were popular yet because of just his magnetism. He was always popular with people and no one associated him with his policies. It's different when it comes to Donald Trump in that, yes, there are people that don't care for his brashness, don't care for the kind of person he is, but his policies were popular. And so I think there's this weird kind of dichotomy going on right now where when you see what I believe is a little bit of overreach by the federal government and the FBI, people are now looking back and going like, wow, how unpopular were his policies to the rest of the swamp that y'all would do something like this?
He was a threat to big government. Mm-hmm. He was. I mean, remember, Ronald Reagan incurred the ire of Washington, D.C. when he fired those air traffic controllers.
Yes. Yeah,
what a great moment in American governance when that was, hey, this is an illegal strike. Yeah, well, what are you going to do about it? Well, you're all fired.
Yeah, return to work or you lose your job. Yeah.
Having the balls to do it, though.
And but Ronald Reagan had a more genteel, friendly, effervescent personality. He got away with it. Donald Trump is simply a threat to the massive government complex of this country.
But that's a good thing.
And listen, and they won't put up with it. I mean, it's the same with my little pet project, the fair tax. It's the greatest threat. Mm-hmm. It would be the greatest transfer of power from government to the people in the history of this country. That's why it cannot happen unless, of course, the people march on the Capitol with pitchforks. And but that has become unpopular of late, too.
Well, let me ask
you
this.
By one side, it is.
Well, yeah, it's just how it goes. But I want to ask you this question, just because the amount of years that you were on the radio and obviously continue to be on the radio and talking about policy and what's going on with government. I think about the legislation that just is going to get ready to go through and 87,000 more additional IRS employees. Were you ever audited? Did you ever worry about audit? Because once you start talking about affecting these people's power, they come after you.
We're afraid.
I was one time, okay? The early years of my law practice. And remember, I was on the air and I was practicing law at the same time. And because of my controversial position, I always, this may sound stupid, but I always made a habit of paying more taxes than I actually owed.
Thank you.
Yeah. That, you know, that way, if they audit me, they're going to write me a check.
Yeah.
But anyway, this auditor came into my law office one time and I had all of my tax records. I had everything laid out and he sat down at the table. And he happened to be a auditor, an AOC, okay, mm-hmm. auditor of color. And he sat down and the first thing out of his mouth was, boy, you sure are hard on black people on the radio, aren't you?
Oh, here we go.
And I just stared at him and I called my secretary in and I said, Adele, I said, I want you to get on the phone right now to so-and-so who happens to be the local IRS district commissioner, whatever they call him. I want you to tell him what the first words out of this auditor's mouth was when he sat down at this table. Mm-hmm. And the guy, oh, no, I didn't mean anything about it. No, please, let's just get on. No. He was out of there in 5 minutes finding nothing wrong with
my
taxes.
Oh, no, there you go. But you know what? I mean, will this transcend to the voters? Because I think the attempt here, when you hear that Donald Trump is 188-14 in his endorsements, and we've seen what's going on across the country in some of these primaries where Trump conservatives are winning, despite Democrats trying to jump on and vote for the others. But when you see this, when you see the IRS is being weaponized, when you see the FBI being weaponized in this manner, will that affect people's mindset when they go to the polls? And will they say, hey, look, I don't agree with Donald Trump, but we got to make sure that the Democrats can't continue to do this?
Well, I mean, if people think it will affect their mindset, if some of them will actually think instead of react, listen, look into the future of this. Oh, we're just expanding the IRS to go after millionaires and billionaires. Yeah. What a load
of
Obama squeeze that is. Look at those millionaires and billionaires spend tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars on accountants and lawyers to make sure that they stay within the law when it comes to the IRS. These auditors, they're going to be, for the most part, there's a few crooks out there. They're just going to be spinning their wheels trying to pin anything on these people that can afford $100,000 tax attorneys. Yeah. So what are they going to do? Well, we're not having any luck there. They're going to have to go after the middle class.
Yep.
Those are the people that are going to suffer. And guess what? Let me tell you some of the things that are coming. They're going to lobby to get access to anybody's bank account that has more than $500 or $600 in a deposit account in a bank anywhere. They're going to want to follow every step, credit card records, everything of middle class America and make their lives miserable to show them who, by God, is boss.
You're exactly right. Talking to Neil Bortz, the Talkmaster on Extra 106.3, the Morning Extra. Tug, Rhino in front office, Lowe's. So Ted Cruz said it's time to abolish the IRS. And then he said, and we could probably go and abolish a whole bunch of those three-letter agencies, which I'm in favor of because I'm in favor of smaller government. I know it's never going to happen, but I at least want the left and those agencies to know that the Republicans mean business if they take over in the midterms and then maybe even in 2024, that we are serious about shrinking the size of this government.
Well, look, I have to go back to this. Has there ever been a bona fide, viable plan put forth in Washington, D.C. that would get rid of the IRS, put them completely out of business?
No.
Why, yes. It was the fair tax. You know, John Linder, the co-author of the book, he was in his office one time after the fair tax book came out and debuted number one. Secretary comes in and says, there's an IRS agent here to see you.
Imagine
John
that.
Linder says, John Linder says, fine, send him in.
I got some things I'd like to say
guy
to him.
Comes, yeah, the guy comes in and closes the door. And he said, Congressman Linder, yes, you need to get this bill passed. You don't know how bad things are at the IRS.
That's amazing.
This needs to pass. So, I mean, even IRS agents know how out of control. You know, if they want to accuse you of not paying your taxes, you know whose court you go to?
Their
court.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Neil, let me ask you this.
Their court.
Let me ask you this, because when we see this new Build Back Better 2.0, or what they want to call it, the Inflation Reduction Act, one of the things that stood out to me was the 15% minimum tax on corporations. But I remember when I was reading the book, the one thing that stood out to me more than anything else was the way you said, hey, if we don't tax these corporations and the way it flows down when corporations are building products, when they don't pay taxes on things they need to build their products, it doesn't get passed down to the consumer. Can you explain, or, you know, you're going to do it a lot better than I did explaining it, but can you talk about why it's so dangerous to tax these corporations?
Well, first of all, they're the job creators.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They are the ones that are creating the jobs, and every additional penny that the government takes away from these evil, horrible corporations is a penny that's not going to be spent on investment, on expansion, on rewarding shareholders. You know, people talk about how horrible corporations are and they need to be brought under control. AT&T. Now, look, since I've been retired, I don't exactly spend hours a day researching. But back when I was spending hours a day researching, AT&T, evil corporation, they're not paying their fair share, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You know who the number one shareholder in AT&T was back then? May still be.
I don't. Who?
Teachers unions.
Mm.
Teachers.
That's right.
So, yeah, teachers unions. I mean, are these people just getting rich on their AT&T stack? Yeah. Teachers retirement plans.
Yeah.
You know, those are the people that were benefiting from the successes of AT&T. And so the Democrats are essentially saying, look, these teachers' retirement plans are making too damn much money off of this. Well, you need to raise taxes on the corporations. And besides, corporations do not pay taxes. They collect them from shareholders,
yep,
employees, and consumers and pass them on to the government.
And it's funny you bring that up, because there was actually an article here in the paper talking about the teachers' pension fund has lost so much money because of the stock market collapse. And I sat back and I laughed and I go, oh, hold on, you've been attacking corporations, you're taxing corporations, and they're the ones that are involved with the stock market. Now you're complaining that your pension fund, which is based on stocks, is just diminished by billions of dollars?
Well, the Democrats have succeeded in making corporations evil,
yeah,
in the eyes of the dumb masses. By the way, when you say dumb masses,
run it together.
Put it together.
Yeah, you got to be really careful to put that little pause between the two. Anyway, Obama, when he was president, his cute little thing was, because of course he wanted to really go after the corporations too. Business jets, all of a sudden in the lexicon of the White House, became corporate jets.
Right,
I mean, you blame this on the corporate, they're business jets. That's what they're called. It's a National Business Aviation Association, the NBA. No. They're corporate jets because corporations are evil. They need to get Stephen King to write their press releases on this.
Neil Bortz, Talkmaster, joins us right here on The Morning Extra. And I don't know how we can drive it home more than that. When you are a corporation and you have a fiduciary responsibility to your shareholders, every time you increase any kind of taxes, that is passed along to the consumer because you want to make sure you keep that stock price. It doesn't matter if it's the teachers' unions or me or you, Neil. The job of their entire board is to make sure the stock price maintains or continues to grow, and that's why when you tax them, they pass it along to the consumer.
Sometimes I play this little game. What is one fact? If the American public was well aware of this one fact, it could change the direction of this country. And one of the singular facts that comes into mind would, if the American public actually knew and understood that all taxes are paid by individuals. Yeah. They're not paid by businesses, by corporations, by anybody else. They are all paid by individuals. And if people were aware of that, then every time a politician said corporate tax, the people would say, what the hell are you talking about? Corporations don't pay taxes. Only the individuals involved in that corporation, as customers, employees, or shareholders, pay taxes. Yep.
Yeah, usually I would say that I, you know, am in favor of corporations because I know how much they provide and jobs and all the things that they do. But now there are those corporations that I hope just go out of business altogether, the ones that subscribe to that whole leftist ideology. And look, there are a lot of them that partner with government at this point to, you know, stunt people's First Amendment rights. They advocate against the Second Amendment. So some of those corporations I got no love for, and it's surprising that the left is kind of taking them on.
They do it, of course, to incur favor with the prevailing government. But you heard about Disney in the last couple of weeks? Mm. You know, now I'm a Disney freak.
Yeah,
I truly am, and my entire family feels the same way. But Chapek, who I'm not in love with, the latest CEO of Disney, he made an announcement. He mentioned, I don't know if it was an announcement, but he mentioned the other day, Disney has to get out of the business of politics.
Here, here. Yeah.
We need to get back to being Disney and stop commenting on political matters. So he learned his lesson at the hands of Ron DeSantis, by the way.
Yes. But the problem is, I feel like, is that they will say that, but then do it underhand. They just won't talk about it.
Well, their employees will give them hell.
Yeah, well, let's hope, you know, let's hope that's the case.
Do you think that maybe Disney has an waited on the heavy side with LGBTQ, LSMFT plus employees?
No, they don't have that many. They have more traditional family employees.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, they have an inordinate share, and they're going to put the pressure on. So, okay. Now, what am I going to do today?
I don't know.
We'll play golf.
Well, that sounds like a good start. Go fishing.
Get some square grouper.
I don't eat those things. I have too many. No, I have an unbelievably high number of taste buds, and people with a lot of taste buds don't eat seafood because they can really taste what that crap tastes like.
Oh, look at there.
I must not have very many.
I must have none.
Yeah, I eat shrimp like a seal.
There you go. Neil Bortz, Talkmaster.
You know what shrimp eat?
What?
It's a roach of the sea, man.
Yeah.
Do you know that lobsters are the same family as the cockroach?
Yeah, well,
I don't think I realized that.
I've eaten one of those too by accident.
I feel like I learned a lot. Fell
in my Cheez-It box.
There you go. It does it. Neil Bortz
Show. That's why chefs call them bugs.
That's right.
Extra 106.3. Yep. Neil, make it a great day.
Thanks,
buddy.
Neil.
When we come back, it is time, actually past time, to shrink the government and get rid of some of these three-letter agencies that we brought up with Neil Bortz. We'll continue that conversation next on Extra 106.3.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The countdown to November midterms with a Morning Extra.
Download the Extra 106.3 app. That way you have the most flexibility with listening to the Morning Extra, Tug, Rhino, Front Office, Lowe's, and Flounder, or the flexibility to listen to the best lineup in conservative talk. And as we do our midterm update, our mid-show midterm update, 91 days until the red
91.
Wave. 91 days. Today, primaries in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Vermont, and Connecticut. So all kinds of things that are happening. I mean, we've been talking about the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago, and we'll get back to that because it is beyond belief at this point. But there are other things that are happening locally here too, Rhino, that are so very important. Stacey Abrams is a hot mess, and she can never run. She can never, ever, ever be the governor, ever be the governor of the state of Georgia, not the state I love.
No, not at all. And you know what? We're going to bring this back to Georgia because we're probably the most important state when it comes to the midterms, because if it wasn't for what we did wrong back in 2020, we wouldn't be worrying about a fake I got to put air quotes, Inflation Reduction Act. It never would have gotten through. We wouldn't be putting our children's future at risk and our own future at risk, because we know one thing: gas prices aren't coming down. So we have to do whatever we can to keep Warnock out. So we need to get Herschel Walker into that seat, and that's going to be a really tough battle. I think Brian Kemp's pretty much got a good handle on the governor, but you never know. And Stacey Abrams is coming out trying to call Brian Kemp a hypocrite, Carlos, talking about boycotts.
Yeah, as of now, and this was an article that appeared in the Daily Beast, and I think it really goes to the idea that if you say something enough times, maybe you can change the past. This article basically talks about boycotts, but it basically talks about how Brian Kemp has alleged and thrown out that, well, Stacey Abrams was behind trying to push the Major League Baseball All-Star game to be removed. Here is actually the quote from the article. Quote, Kemp and his campaign have recently re-upped false attacks on Democratic rival Stacey Abrams, accusing her erroneously of promoting a 2021 Major League Baseball boycott in Georgia as a means to pressure conservatives into repealing the new voting law in Georgia passed in April of 2021. Except she did.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Can I actually read her quote from USA Today?
Not the edited one. We want the real one.
Yeah, I'm going to give you the first one before she was allowed to edit her op-ed. Here's the original quote. The impassioned response to the racist, classist bill that is now the law of Georgia is to boycott in order to achieve that. Events hosted by Major League Baseball, world-class soccer, that means the World Cup, by the way, college sports, and dozens of Hollywood films hang in the balance. She wants Hollywood to leave? Go ahead.
So do I.
Bye.
So
go back to Hollywood. World-class soccer. Okay, you know what? We got the World Cup, so Stacey Abrams, you want the World Cup gone too, right?
Yep.
And Major League Baseball. So yes, she did call for it. It's in her article, and it's everywhere you can find it.
And again, in the Daily Beast, the next next immediate paragraph, quote, while Abrams did not encourage that boycott and in fact publicly discouraged it, Kemp himself personally called on Georgians to boycott companies when it suited his political agenda.
Liars.
What do you do? Again, if you just say it enough, maybe some people might believe it, but we were here for it.
That's the thing that drives, I think, regular people crazy. And those independents that we're talking about that are so important to making sure that Brian Kemp stays the governor of Georgia. And look, even in the presidential election, when we get to the generals there in 2024, that's the thing that I feel like that will keep this party in power and keep Kemp in power, because people read this nonsense and see this nonsense, and they can see through it because they know what happened. They were here. If you're not in Georgia, maybe you don't know. But if you're here, you absolutely know it was Stacey Abrams that caused this.
Yeah, and let's be honest, okay? Number one, she pressured Major League Baseball. Not the people to watch Major League Baseball. She didn't say, hey, the black community, do not go to the All-Star game. That's not what she said. What she said is, you need to move it. She called on Delta, Home Depot, and others. Here's the difference. This is what Kemp said. said, by the way. All he said was that Delta is a corporate coward and said its move against the NRA had jeopardized a tax break to save the airlines millions of dollars. That's not calling for a boycott. Yeah, so totally them, you, I mean, it's apples to oranges. And the only other thing he ever said is that Georgians should look at some of the companies that they're buying guns, especially ones that say that they are not going to support the NRA or gun rights.
Yeah, that's right. A Republican PAC is on the attack against Georgia's native son, but it's not exactly as it seems. We'll talk about it next on Extra 106.3.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.